Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, Wormwood accusations.
Okay, yeah.
Not the best segment, and this is going to cover a lot.
Ooh.
Not a new edition.
Okay.
That's the big message from Shilkon. Okay. And Zombicide White Death, the return of everyone's favorite Command game.
Okay.
And one more multiverse VTT bundle.
Okay.
So some more VTT news. So let's start with Brinkwatch, of course. Brinkwatch, yep. Day 59.
Day 59. I can't believe you're actually fucking tallying this. Keeping track.
So according to what he said, he needs to resign because white people need to sooner than later get out of the hobby and just make room for other people. People was like
it,
himself.
Was it all white people? Or yeah, was it white guys?
He said. Maybe white guys. Yeah. That's right. Because you can't say he can't speak for white women. So, but let's be honest. If Kyle was walking down the street and there were three black halflings walking towards him, he would cross the street.
I'm sure he would.
So I don't believe, I can't trust anything that Kyle will say, especially when he's talking to three black halflings. Oh, Kyle. So yeah, hashtag resign, Kyle. And your actions need to follow your words. We can't, we don't like this hypocrisy in the executive producer of Dungeons & Dragons. So let's start with an even uglier, uglier thing in the industry. So there are new details about Wormwood. Wormwood, I guess, furniture. Wormwood.
They made like the super expensive tables, right?
And like dice cases and stuff. Okay. Yeah. So a dangerous culture is being reported at Wormwood, and this is by Gizmodo, and the reporter is Linda Codega, the woman that kind of all the OGL
stuff, right?
Yeah. So I think you wouldn't be covering this if this was all ridiculous. And it sounds like there's enough people coming forward that it's got some validity, but again, innocent until proven guilty and all that good stuff. So the luxury.
Doesn't that apply to like actual court, not like the court of public
opinion? Well, yeah, court of public opinion. Okay. Yeah. And lynchings and yeah, all those. Yeah. All
okay. Well, I seriously doubt any of that's going to happen.
Right. But yeah, we don't want, yeah. But so the luxury gaming table manufacturer, Wormwood Gaming has accusations of a dangerous environment. So past and present employees, up to 50 of them have. Wow. It starts to have some legitimacy once you get into those kind of numbers. Reporting sexual harassment, workplace misconduct, and sexism, led by the co-founder and CEO, Doug Costella. So they're based in Taunton, Massachusetts, and they've had incredible success crowdfunding. They were founded in 2012. Have successfully funded 23 projects and $2 million for one project to do their premier modular gaming tables.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's the fumes from the polyurethane that are getting to them or whatever, but it does sound like stuff is going on. So, and the company's actually doubled in size since the COVID pandemic. So and maybe all that they cashed those COVID checks and just kept hiring. But so these accusations surfaced on social media. Mm-hmm. And one of the accusations was a little bit disturbing. It named Bob Downey as allegedly playing with himself in front of female employees. So there you go, kids. And other workers alleged that he was purposely keeping female employees off of their YouTube reality show, Worm Life. It just gets worse.
Okay.
But so they're doing content, I guess, to promote what they were doing. And here's a quote. From the Gizmodo article. So according to sources, Downey's excuses for not including more women included the statement that women just aren't as funny as men, and the women at Wormwood are too awkward and aggressive to be on camera. Sorry, that was awkward and aggressive were the accusations of the women.
Okay.
So, and of course, there are reports women were rarely promoted. Mm-hmm. An employee, there's a safety things as well. An employee nearly burnt their finger off on defective machinery. And then apart from all of the misconduct allegations, the company itself has been fined multiple times by OSHA and has four violations directly posted on their website for workplace safety issues.
Okay.
So all around, it's a dangerous place to work. Guys with their pants down and machines burning your hands off. So there you go. So this was similar to we talked, I think, last year about Broken Token had these same kind of accusations.
Yep.
So, yeah, so. Little dividers for your board games and fancy tables for your RPGs are just no place to work, I suppose. Yeah, so a couple of companies that, and this is like, if you're going to do this, you're literally fucking your company if you're going to mess yeah. around with employees and harass them like this. It's not going to, I mean, with social media, it's going to get out. It's not like people can be shamed and silenced and paid off, you know, the same way that they may have been in the past. So you have to, you're going to have to face these allegations. And so that's a shame. They had some success as a kind of premium nerd furniture company, and they just are, yeah, very mismanaged. But
has there been any kind of response from Wormwood?
No. Gizmodo has said, they've asked them, and there's been no statement so far. They may, and at the time of this, this recording, so maybe they will have to answer these allegations. And I don't know if they've
up to 50 of your employees are coming forward to say you're kind of shit, then you got to say something.
Right. Yeah. And it's quite a variety of complaints. So we'll see. And I'm sure Linda will stay on top of it because, she definitely covers things well in the tabletop industry. So we'll see. And she has a good kind of social media presence, so people will talk to her as well. So we'll see what happens with this. But that was just, some really crappy news to come out of a whole bunch of crappy news. So moving on. Moving on to more crappy news. And let's take advantage of this amazing bumper.
Not the best.
Excellent. So not the best.
I would actually play whatever game that is.
And that was actual footage of the Dungeons & Dragons of VTT that they...
Oh, was it? Okay.
You notice
that... Well, then I won't play that game.
How the pieces attacked each other? Yeah. It looks stunning, stunningly high tech. So moving on to the, Creator Festival, whatever they're calling it. Yeah. So
I don't even know what it.
So yeah, WotC
title is. Yeah,
WotC collected. So both in person and online, WotC is having this little meeting, and there's no recording, no photos, no recording. So it's just accounts. So people that are attending this are giving their accounts,
which makes me skeptical. But okay,
right. So the president, Cynthia Williams of WotC, kind of started the event. The Creator Summit is what they're calling it, the D&D Creator Summit. So they invited a bunch of people and said, your access, to our materials is on the line. So, listen up and say what we say back to the rest of the community in general. So she was standing in front of a statue of Dritz Dwarden. I don't know why that's a weird detail. Clutching a leather-bound book, right? Mm-hmm. And she said... My precious creator community, I have brought you here today because D&D has finally eliminated the threat, the scourge of miscegenation in Dungeons & Dragons and all tabletops. So
this came from...
That was the big... Oh, no, I just made that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So miscegenation has been solved. Yeah. So first by choosing species, right, instead of race, because as we know... You basically, the pre-zygotic and post-zygotic barriers will maintain the reproductive isolation of species. So they're not actually eliminating. So when they're talking about, they mention things like this, half races are hatred, have hatred. So I guess, I know my kids are a product of hatred, but, I didn't know anybody else's.
I am too, right?
Yeah, right. So, just pass it along. So it's pretty insulting. Like they have to be clear about, so do you want people to be able to see themselves in their characters in the game, or do you want to have this squeaky clean system that, that tries to avoid all criticism by using technical, by just kind of wordplay? But so they have said, and this actually came out last summer, the intent of them doing this. So maybe this is more, it's looking more set in stone because it's going to be in the player's handbook. But they already mentioned that... they're going to eliminate half orc, half elf, and they're only having elf and orc. And you can kind of choose, what their appearance is and kind of choose the mechanical backgrounds, kind of like all the stuff they released in Tasha's Cauldron. So really, there's nothing racist or the species has no effect. It's all backgrounds and just mechanical choices.
Okay, sorry. Does the species give you like a bucket of things you can pull from?
I think it's So you can choose mechanical abilities, right? But I think you can choose anything. It's not specifically.
Oh, it's not tied.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can basically say basically say anything. Like what used to be like something a dwarf would have or something. You can just choose anything. So there's nothing directly connected anymore. It's just kind of a choose your own thing, and choose your own appearance as well. So they kind of left it up to them.
Well, like I can't. Okay. Like I can't. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I have no problem with them removing half things, because if in your fantasy world, if everything can, like, reproduce with everything else, mm-hmm. then species has no meaning. Right?
Right.
And the fact you had, okay, humans get this, half-elves get that, elves get that, half-orcs get this, orcs get that,
mm-hmm.
is meaningless when anything can just reproduce with anything else. Right?
Right?
Like, you either have distinct species or you kind of don't, right?
Mm-hmm,
or you kind of, and okay, let's be honest, right? We're talking about imaginary creatures here,
mm-hmm.
but I'm waiting for that patrol car to go by, right? But if you don't see the real world descriptions that parallel half orc and half elf and orc, the way they're written in the book, then you're either completely blind or you're willfully not seeing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Language that has been used to describe real world cultures is used to describe these pretend world cultures, and therefore I think it's impossible to not see, perhaps unintentional, right, the racism that's kind of built into that, right? So, like when I was building Brighthammer, there are no half races in Brighthammer, mm-hmm. right? And I specifically did that because you open a can of worms when you attach mechanical abilities to variations of people.
Right.
And
right,
I said,
right.
you kind of, it's kind of either all or nothing. And I went with the nothing route. Right. But it sounds like D&D is doing kind of the same thing I did with Brighthammer, where I said, okay, it's not the same mechanically, right? But I'm like, okay, you get four little things to say about your character.
Mm-hmm.
If being an orc is important, pick one or two things that mean orc, however you envision them,
right,
write
right.
them however you want. If mm-hmm. being an orc doesn't matter, then pick four things from your class or background,
right?
You have the freedom. You get four choices from kind of like species, background, class.
Mm-hmm.
Pick whatever three you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it kind of sounds like D&D is doing the same thing.
Yeah, there, I think
right?
so.
Where it's like, okay, you're an orc. What does that mean to you? Pick the things that matter, or if it doesn't really matter, don't pick any things, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe we're coming from different places, but I think we ended up in the same result, so I can't fault D&D for doing this.
Right,
I can
right.
say maybe you're going about it kind of the crappy way, right? Or whatever. Like I can't fault the results, I guess, right?
Yeah. The odd thing is, though, that they keep claiming that this is going to be backwards compatible with 5e, and 5e still has half races and the word race, and they're still using
right.
race.
Well, I mean, so they can't go back and
they're not eliminating that. So instead of like saying this is a new version and we're leaving all of that behind and we're stepping forward, no, it's still backwards compatible, so it still exists. And the funny thing is, if you're associating like half races with, you know, rape or, you know, violence or hatred.
Well, that was the big thing. It was always like half orcs were almost always a product of race.
Right,
Well, elves were almost all the product of a loving marriage. And you're just like, come on, you can't see the problems there.
Right, anyway. Right. But, you know, it's nice, though, that the rape still exists. You just don't have the biological consequences of this. So, you know, it's a great thing. Wizards did a nice thing to keep rape in D&D.
Jesus Christ.
Just don't have to, you know, base your character on it. So they went on and on about kind of what they're doing. And so this is not a new version.
Okay.
And so people... I
saw that. It's not 6. It's not 5.5.
Right.
It's just 1.
Right. I'm sure there's a whole like round of questions. So is it 5.3? No. 5.2? No.
This is really 5.1? More of a comment than a question is how I picture these things going. Right.
So what they're going to release next year is the 2024 Core Rules Revision. So this sounds a little... Games Workshop-y, where they tweak their rules and don't say what they're doing.
To be fair, didn't Paizo also do the same thing with just Starfinder?
Oh,
right?
Right.
Starfinder, whatever. Right?
That's right. Yeah, they did their rules.
So again,
yeah, but that was that's a prequel to that is kind of their half step to the next version. Yeah, and WotC will never have a next version because
okay, well, I don't believe that, but I mean,
yeah, but I think they you know not of their own doing, they have this incredibly popular tabletop game.
Not of their own doing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so they don't know how to hold on to it. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to make anybody happy, and they don't know how to keep it popular. So they're just going to try to, you know, just crowdsource. Okay, anything you want, the blue box, you know, red box, what do we want here? It's going to be a, yeah, it's just, it sounds very silly. But the things that they said are things like a 2014 character will be able to work alongside a 2024 character with minimum effort in this new version.
Okay, well, I mean, sure. You know what? I don't disbelieve that because, mm-hmm. I mean, sure, D20 games from 2014 and 2024 are different, but it's still basically roll a D20, add a modifier, check against a DC number, right? So, sure. I believe them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I don't
they
care, but I believe them. Right?
right. And there was a people were recording kind of the Q&A session. Mm. They were just giving transcripts of that.
Sure, I do want to read those.
Yeah, So the answers are useless, but it's really surprised. Nice to see that the community is asking them. It almost sounded in some ways like a meeting, like a union meeting with the company, because they're like, you know, what about this? What about mental health? What about this? It really, they were asking them to address stuff that was interesting. But so what is Wizards, one of the questions, what is Wizards' core value at high level with queer, trans, et cetera, players more visible than possible, which has dangers? What is your core audience? What is your plan for race? And so they talked about previously, you know, okay, we went with species. Does that make you happy? And they still are saying species is not permanent. That's just maybe a temporary choice. They haven't, that's not in stone yet. But they're also saying things like, so to address race and the queer community, they're saying, well, we're eliminating savage and dim-witted. It's like, okay what's that doing for the queer community? Okay,
well, we're no longer savage and dim-witted. Okay, fine.
So the queers are no longer savage and dim-witted. Thank goodness. So their answers to these things are pretty silly. But
are we surprised, though?
No, that's true. And they're trying to... Yeah, they're trying to
get people to repeat this. They're pulling the corporation, this. Right? Yeah. They're pulling. They have to. They're a big corporation. They're pulling the corporate thing of not really saying anything,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And having people say, "Oh, that's satisfying." So so they named the species. They named the 9 different species: human, dwarf, dragonborn, halfling, elf, gnome, goliath, orc, and tiefling in this handbook.
And as someone pointed out, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, like tiefling are half. Human, half demon.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so they breed true now. Whatever that means.
But maybe humans are half halfling, half Goliath. Did you ever consider that?
You have a race called halfling, and that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, halfling's not derogative in any way, is it?
They're half of what?
Yeah, right. Half of what is the standard? Yeah, so you're never going to be able to get away from all this silliness. They did say something about 1,000 years of 1D&D, so I don't know what that meant. And there was some kind of like weird hand salute that they were trying to teach all the... No, actually, I don't think that happened either. But the weirdness or the kind of cowardice of them like not saying, okay, let's try 6th edition and, you know, pray that this goes okay, because they don't want to give any opportunity to, you know, Kobold Press or Paizo to step up and say, oh, you liked 5e, we have the 5e now. Yeah. They don't. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, okay, I do. Okay, like I say, right, I will never buy a D&D product. I will never play like D&D again. I'm actually kind of like, I don't care if you're making 5e, kind of whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I do want to read the transcript of this creator summit to see what kind of questions were asked and see what kind of non-answers were given, right? And stuff like that, because I want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I, before coming over, just asked on Twitter, like, okay, does anyone know, were these people compensated?
Right? Oh, right.
Like, and it seems like if you were able to attend in person, it seems like accommodations, transportation, and food were paid for. Mm-hmm. If you were just a virtual attendee, it seems like nothing got paid for. Right. And my thing is like, okay, I know there's a lot of stuff going around in the community where people are calling them shills, right? Which, not my position, right? Mm-hmm. My position is like, okay, kind of two competing but still nevertheless true opinions in my thing. One, this is a PR move by WotC, mm-hmm. right? After that giant misstep with the OGL, right? They needed to go, we're listening to the community, right? And that's exactly what this is, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting non-answers because I'd expect this means nothing to them apart from getting their goodwill back. Mm-hmm. Two, I'm sure, like, also, like, it seems like WotC picked these people, which,
they kept some people out of it. Yeah.
Whatever. And I'm not saying the people they picked are bad. I don't even know who they picked. But I'm saying a company picking someone to run, it's just kind of fishy, right?
Yeah, of course.
Other one, I'm sure the people who attended have great intentions, and I'm sure they want to change D&D from the inside. I don't think that's possible. I don't think you can change something from the inside. I also think these people went into it with good intentions, and I also think they're doing WotC a service, so at the very least, WotC or Hasbro should be compensating them. Are they shills? No. I hope they got paid.
Right.
They also, like, in addition to just comping stuff, they should have actually paid them, right?
Right, for the, yeah.
So exactly. I would be much more skeptical if WotC didn't pay them anything, but the fact that they got paid hasn't wiped out all my skepticism, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, and I think they're going to prove whether they're shills or not kind of after the fact, because if they have to give positive feedback constantly on their channels and in their content to maintain access. You know, that's a problem with Disney and a lot of the stuff that's going on. It's like, if you say a bad word, it's like suddenly you don't get tickets to this, you know, to the early screenings of films and stuff. Like, so if they're going to allow for you know, kind of open debate and criticism of what they're doing from this community, then, you know, those people will prove themselves not to be shills. But if they're like, well, we would just want the early releases and the fancy, you know, wooden boxes and things that you're going to send the press, you know,
can you blame people? I mean, like, shills pretty negative word, right? But like, let's be honest. Like, how many times have we said, like, if WotC walked in the door right now and said, we will pay you money to come, we'd be like, yeah, okay, well, I'll at least think about it, right? So I'm not gonna say shill or anything like that. But I would give more credit to WotC if, and I don't have the time or inclination to go through to see who they picked, but like, if you picked, like, vocal critics of your game, then I'll be like, okay, this seems a bit more legit than if you just picked people who are uncritically positive of the game. But like, also, like, if people are allowed to say, yo man, this thing was terrible, right, and that would give more credit to it as well. I don't know, like, it's just I've talked a lot for something I don't care about.
Now. and as a wise man said on Twitter, we've got 50 years of tabletop role play to choose from. We don't even need to give any attention or energy to whatever WotC is doing to screw up Dungeons & Dragons, because the stuff we want to play, it already exists. Save your energy and focus it on positive things and enjoying the games. Hail Orcus Dorcus.
Like, all right.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that, I thought that was a good...
No more for me.
But I thought that was a good sentiment.
But one more thing. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding. No. Sorry.
But, you know, but this is also used in a very clickbait way in the community to get a lot of attention, you know, because you're getting headlines like... you know, the half races are evil, you know, WotC stuff, and you're getting all of that as because you know, YouTube just thrives on that. So I mean, we'll, like, participate as well.
That's social media, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
you get attention from, like, in indie TTRPG circles, like, people are always like, why don't you always talk bad about D&D, or can't you not mention D&D? And it's like, time and again, people independently kind of confirm that not mentioning D&D, when you are positive about, like, other things and you just talk about your own game or talk about whatever, you get fucking cricket. But as soon as you talk about D&D, you get engagement.
Right,
so
Yeah.
It sucks, but it's kind of the nature.
Yeah, so it's got to be a balance. You got to diss WotC and then say, oh, yeah, and have you tried this? Yeah.
Oh, but if you do that, and I've done that before, right? Because why the fuck not? It actually worked. I got a couple sales, right? But you're a shill, right?
Yeah, you're a shill. Yo, right? But you're shilling for yourself.
I'm
which
shilling
is,
for myself, which apparently that's is even totally worse than shilling for a giant corporation.
Semantics. All right. So the return of something on Kickstarter that actually it has been a while. So Come On is back with one of their biggest original properties. They've been pitching, like, Marvel superhero chibi games and stuff for a long time. So I was worried that the pandemic or whatever maybe, like, hurt their momentum. But Zombicide is back. So Zombicide White Death, the long-awaited sequel.
I'm imagining this taking place in, like, a Edward Scissorhands style suburbia, right? Oh, are we talking about, like, a blizzard or something? Oh, that's the White Death, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the...
I think I broke Jeremy, sorry.
Yes, sorry. Actually, it takes place, I think, at Christmas time on the Great Wall of China, which is a little bit weird. Yeah, so the zombies are, like, literally, like, Mongolians. Yeah,
literally
Mongolian.
This seems weird, then. Okay,
yeah, whatever. It's a little it's a little odd. The setting's a little odd. It's very Chinese.
Okay.
Yeah. So
So like Matt this Damon, is a fantasy. Great Wall. Kind
of yeah, right. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, exactly what it looks like.
Movie. All right.
So this is based on this is a sequel to Black Plague, which was their fantasy version of Zombicide. So okay. Zombicide is basically like, you know, Resident Evil, right. You know, Biohazard, kind of, you know.
But it's a board game.
Yeah, it's a board game. Yeah, it's a cooperative board game shooting zombies. Then they did a fantasy version, and the designer that does a lot of their character work, the French artist, Edouard Guton. Guton did, I love his character work. Like, he did a bunch of stuff for Confrontation and stuff back in the day. And I love his design. So I'm always tempted. These miniatures are great because they're based on his designs.
Right.
But, you know, the game, you know.
Is the same.
Whatever, it's the same
game
again.
That's what I had to imagine, right?
Yeah, right, right.
It's played Zombicide and it was enjoyable, but like.
They got a couple new mechanics. They're working on it. So this is the White Death is taking place in the cold, icy lands known as Wintergrad, which okay. I don't know how that doesn't sound very Chinese, but it looks very Chinese when you see the miniatures. Okay. So new environments, zombies, and survivors. They updated the rules and added new thrilling mechanics. So you can actually freeze the zombies in certain cases. So and so Zombicide is a multi-million dollar franchise for them. So every time they launch one of these campaigns, they make, you know, a couple $1 million to actually publish it. So they're very popular, and of course, because it's come on, they give you tons of plastic. So right. Very Ameritrash.
Maybe that's why. Okay, I'm not going to
expect it. Yeah, and so this adds a lot of humanoid animal hybrid kind of characters, so kind of furry looking characters.
As playable characters?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. You know what? Not my cup of tea. Right, whatever.
Yes. But. So they're kind of, they look like they're kind of based on Chinese mythology. Like they have, yeah. So it's okay. I mean, I think they gave an interesting theme to the designer and I don't know. It's okay. But yeah, so the different thing is though, instead of like going room to room or, you know, a city or right. whatever, where there's a scourge, you're basically on the ramparts of, looks like the Great Wall or like some sort of castle, sort of castle. Everyone's
so
wearing,
it's very linear.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're kind of like, repelling these forces that are coming in, just so kind of more like tower defense than what Zombicide has been before. And so there's, new zombies and new elites. So the original Black Plague is from 2015.
Oh.
And Green Horde was the follow-up, which was Orc Zombies that was released in 2018. And actually, so if you like this game at all and, you know, want to keep kind of collecting this, the Kickstarter is definitely the best place to do it because these games get really expensive after the Kickstarter. Like versions of them are expensive and they're especially to difficult places to ship. It's very hard to get them shipped here.
Do they have a tier where you can get like everything?
Oh, they usually do. Well, no, okay. If you know, come on. Yeah, you know, they're weird, deceptive Kickstarter practices. So they have one pledge level. They literally have $1 and then they have one pledge level. The one pledge level is like $100 or whatever. That's the core game.
Okay.
And then there's like $750 of add-ons. Right, so the full, so all in, there isn't really an all in pledge. Sometimes they add it later, but rarely.
Well,
and then you end up like with $1,000 bill, you know, once it's everything.
Well, that's
plus
your fault for putting on so many add-ons, right? I don't know. I haven't backed one of these, but on the surface, I kind of like the idea of, okay, here's our $1 pledge level. You just want to give us something, right? I know some people or some kids.
And then access to the pledge manager.
Yeah. And or it's like, and here's the one pledge, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, respect for just having one thing. You're going to get the game.
Right.
And I actually don't mind. Maybe it's easier for them to just go, and here's the add-ons, right?
Yeah.
It kind of ensures they're going to fund just like, I want the game. All I got to do is click one button.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
And I guess that makes it more adjustable depending on the success. So if it's just add-ons that become stretch goals, then the campaign can get as big as it's financially is. If they promise an all-in right away and give it a price tag, like, this isn't worth it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's probably what it is. So I guess that maybe that's where it's a little deceptive, right?
Yeah,
it's
like,
I got the game. Cool. And now I'm going to add all these things. And what? I'm spending $500? How did that happen, right?
Right. But, yeah. So they always do interesting stuff. And there's a lot of, you know, there's guest artists and designers and things. And sometimes they do like parodies of pop culture stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they're talking about, come on, with their Marvel zombies. Yeah, they added... So licensed stuff. They've done like characters from Supernatural, Ghostbusters, and The Boys that can be played in Zombicide.
Okay.
So yeah, they do have a lot of kind of guests that they, you know, little licensed little tricks and stuff. So it looks interesting, but the setting is odd. It's snowy China. It's snowy like Mongolia, basically. It's like repelling the Mongol horde, which are zombies. So yeah, a different setting. So medieval still, you know, medieval fantasy. Not really fantasy though, because there is a Great Wall, so it's not that was a fantasy.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm gonna have to go look at this just to see what the design is. is, but it's kind of like, okay, it reminds me a little bit of my thoughts of Kung Fu Panda, right? How it's like, okay, we've got anthropomorphic animals in what is clearly China.
Right.
Right?
Right, yes, yes.
And that's great, but once again, like, the main characters are not voiced by Chinese actors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, you tried to... I feel like you tried to, like, sidestep the racial thing by going with animals.
Yeah.
But then you still fucking stepped in it right. by having... And I like the characters. I like the stuff, right? I like the movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I like Jack Black as a voice actor, but you still kind of, like, stepped in it by having this white guy as the main character, right?
Right, right.
So, I don't know. I have similar kind of thoughts initially with this, right? Where it's kind of like you tried to sidestep the race thing by going with anthropomorphic animals, but you still kind of didn't.
Yeah, and the look of it. I mean, I love the artist designs of things, but it's an odd setting. Yeah, it's a very odd setting, but it's different. Visually, it's very different. And if they just want to use different color plastic every time, then I guess that works. Yeah, but and the last thing I wanted to mention is $1 for animated pixel art that you could use for
a I'm not listening to this. Sorry.
Yes.
But go on.
So, yeah. So this is a Humble Bundle that's available. So it's a what they're calling the Intro to Virtual Tabletop Role Playing.
Okay.
So this is supporting the... we've talked about them before, the One More Multiverse.
Okay,
so this is a VTT that uses pixel-based assets. So the assets that they develop for this, instead of... you know, being taken from the sources or whatever, their original pixel art assets.
Cool.
And the one thing that they did that's a pretty interesting accomplishment, because it's a very dark setting, is they did a pixel art, a whole like a set of resources in pixel art for Blades in the Dark.
So you can
play Blades in the Dark as a pixel art, you know, kind of dark dark murder machine, or I guess heist machine. Thieves and heisting. But this bundle contains three packages that can be used in the One More Multiverse VTT. Yaziba's Online is one of them. It's a social role-playing game where you participate in many sessions to tell stories about a bed and breakfast.
Yep.
And
so, like, I wanted to back this, but like, I'm off Kickstarter. It's like, okay, Yaziba's Bed and Breakfast sounds really interesting, because apparently it's really like, it's pick up and play.
Mm-hmm.
You're handed like characters, and like, there doesn't have to be any continuity. It's like, and now we're playing this little section, and now we're playing this little section, and that seems really interesting to me, and I want to know how they did it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's and the artwork that they did for the virtual tabletop is really nice. That looks a really nice thing to interact with. So and these are going to be very different tabletop experiences in a virtual tabletop that aren't going to be hex crawling, you know, or hex crawling, or you know, squares, moving squares with tokens. Grid based, thank you. And so, and the second package is the Humblewood, which is a 5e compatible campaign setting where you're playing woodland critters. So everyone is a tiny bunny thief rogue. I don't know. You can be part of the Bandit Coalition.
Don't have time, but I kind of have feelings about like cutesy animal stuff that still fight and murder.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Yes. So, and that set contains races, backgrounds, monsters, and magic items for 1 to 5 level characters in 5e. And all of this goes to supporting the Trevor Project, which is a young LGBTQ plus charity that helps for guidance and counseling for the young queer community. And like I said, $1 will give you a 25 animated pixel art monsters to use in this virtual tabletop.
Cool.
And so the Blades in the Dark is kind of the big focus. It's kind of what they use the artwork and everything for. Makes it really easy to run and play modules. The full thing, so all three packages, will cost you $25 for the bundle, and Blades in the Dark retails for $30.
Okay, so you're still getting a deal.
You're basically getting a deal on it, even if you don't play the other two. You're getting a bit of a deal. And it's a pretty remarkable accomplishment, the way that they did all the different items and settings and things in the main setting of Blades in the Dark in pixel art. So if you'd like to try something like that. Yeah. So that's supporting One More Multiverse, which is a virtual tabletop that I think is distinguishing itself as being something different, having a different atmosphere and not. I'd like to go check out and see what it looks like, because I'm still not decided on my favorite. I'm having decent luck with Foundry, and that the pre-built stuff for Veasan is pretty good because they have the whole book there for the adventures, and you can choose who, you know, what you can see or not. And then you can also, through the all of the sources, you can pop up illustrations very easily. Cool. So it's not drag and drop, but it's like just show players, right. Which is nice. I got used to just like dragging JPEGs, you know, from my desktop, but this has all of the resources, you know, in the kind of pre-built stuff. But building the stuff doesn't seem like it would be very fun for Foundry. Right, okay. Kind of like WordPress. It's not not a good time. But we'll put a link to all of those things in the description so you can take a look at the new Zombicide and
I'm gonna go look
one more multiverse.
Style looks like.
Yeah. And take a look at the animated pixel monsters.
I don't know if I will.
But
I've got like I don't know how much of an itch library. Stuff.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're crossing over. But seriously, you should check out this virtual tabletop because you're kind of if you're building a pixel art library, you might actually be able to play a lot of systems and stuff you like with simplified pixel art in this kind of platform.
Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, and I can't remember. I think it was still when we first talked about One More Multiverse, it was still in beta or something, so it was still free. So I'm not sure if there's a subscription if they've stayed free and you're just buying content or if it's subscription based now. But yeah, it's worth checking out, and it's pixel art.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So that's it for this week, and we escaped without too much controversy with the Chill Fest. I mean, the Creator Summit, and. Yeah, so that's it for this week. So where can people find you?
On Twitter, until that site goes down in flames, in which case it's Instagram, where it's HiveMind, HYVEMYND, where latest is Pixel Art Cities.
Oh, Pixel Art. Interesting. Pixel Art. I wouldn't have guessed,
would you? Yeah. That'll be replaced tomorrow with shots from my elves getting massacred yet again by the dwarves in our, second Oathmark game?
Yes. Yeah. So, tomorrow night, it's going to be a little late for anybody watching this stream. Yeah, we'll probably start
North America,
For North American time, it'll probably be after midnight. Yeah. But of course, it'll be archived. So, check out our second game of Oathmark and see if Chris
can pilot the elves any better. Yeah,
his elves will just be covered in goblin viscera.
And still lose. And still lose somehow.
But they held that one point. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And, how about you?
Oh, and I'm still doing my single panel gag cartoon live stream. When OBS doesn't crash, it usually goes okay. So I draw the cartoon, eat snacks from the convenience store. I had Lucky Butter chips last time, which are not what you'd think they are.
Neither Lucky nor Butter. Okay.
Butter. Yeah, they weren't butter or chips. They're literally baked rice crackers that have some sort of dairy product on them.
All right.
So yeah, so always great surprises and interesting things. So Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitch. And if you want to read the cartoon, gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you'd like to support what we're doing with the weekly, please consider becoming a weakling.
The strongest of all supporters.
at patreon.com/upturntable. Upturntable.com is our website for everything that we're doing. That'll give you notifications and links and access to downloads and unboxings and actual plays. And then our series of battle reports. I guess they're technically battle reports.
Battle reports.
Yeah, for Oathmark.
Battle reports,
Yes. And there might be some more fun miniature stuff coming up. So we'll see. We might get back down to 10 millimeters again.
Ooh,
we'll have to see.
I'm excited about that,
Yeah. So thanks for joining us, and we will see everyone next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.